Hello, everyone. On this week's episode, we're going to cover the fancy new functionality of having section backgrounds, custom image backgrounds, in SharePoint. We are going to talk about how you can create multiple instances of a Teams app and customize them the way you need it to be and target them the way you want it to be targeted to users. We're also going to cover a new feedback option in SharePoint, and we're going to talk about maybe how you need to watch this for potential PII sharing or whatever.
So hey, save it for the episode.
Save it for, and we actually have quite a few other messages. Stay tuned. Let's roll it. Hello, everyone, and Daryl. Like,
I don't fit into the everyone bracket.
No, because you're special.
Oh, okay. Because we're kind of live together talking.
Right.
Everyone's watching, but we're talking together. Yeah. Hi, everyone. Yes, indeed. Great week. Have a great week. No, that's what we say at the end of the show. Had a great week.
Are we ending? Is the show over?
I don't know.
Did I forget it?
I think it's because we keep coming across these messages that talk about features retiring, and that's what causes us to start humming things like bow, 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 but out, out, bow, and out.
No one bites the dust.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to say I'm really excited to see people out in the wild. I was in the community day in Knoxville, Tennessee. And it was a great event, by the way. Wow. Fantastic event. But running into people who say, hey, I watch your show. And I say, well, I'm a co-host. There's this other guy. No, they say, I watch your show and I use your content to help my organization understand changes and help us prepare. And I do it every week. I was like, oh, I love this because, you know, that's why we do this. And this is the only reason, really.
Daniel.
I was about to say, other than therapeutic type of function. But
yes.
So love talking to people like, you know, that actually are using the show that way. It just warms my heart. And I know it warms yours too, Daryl. Right? Because that's why we do it.
Indeed. So, that's right. So while you're here, if you are new, do subscribe because there's more value where this came from every week, as much as we can every week. We do pretty well. And for those who do enjoy this episode, of course, hitting that like does let other people know that this was of value and will help other people discover the content. And you'll find us on various different places in the socials at 365MCS.
Absolutely. And drop us a comment on socials or down below in the video, if you're on the audio listening, yes, we have an audio part of the podcast. You know, jump on socials and let us know. We'd love to interact with you.
Mm-hmm. So into it, Daniel. This first one. Today's episode is unofficially sponsored by the most frequent message from product teams.
Yes, Microsoft Teams. Meeting Options Categorization, MC726124. I'll just go ahead and let everyone know, this is one of two messages I read the title and went, oh, cool, and totally misread the meaning. And I'll talk about the other one later. You can chuckle at me. But this one, I'm like, oh, meeting option categorization. So you mean that we'll be able to, when we're setting up the meeting, say, this is a meeting that is, you know, private, internal only for, and everyone can present kind of thing. And so it'll do all the options to where everybody can bypass a lobby, everyone can present, you know, yay. Well, that's not what this is at all. I thought that's what it was. Although I think that's a really cool idea. When you're set up a meeting, just like when you're setting up a Teams channel, saying what do you need to do? That would be great for this, to be able to say, I want this kind of meeting. Boo, do all the settings for me in this way.
That's a premium feature.
This is a premium feature, probably.
Meeting templates.
Yeah. Yes. So what this message is taking all of those meeting option things, right? It's on one page. It's a big old list of things, and categorizing them into sections. And so when you look at the screenshot, you'll see it's got the sections on the left-hand side, tabs, if you will, and then the settings over on the right-hand side. So what's shown in the screenshot is, for instance, the first tab is meeting access, and then below it is advanced protection, and then below that is roles, and et cetera. And so when you click on those, it will load the appropriate settings that correspond to those categories, right? That's the categories that this message is talking about. It's only going to be available in the new Teams client and the web, excluding Safari. Sorry, Safari. And they'll be coming to the in-meeting options later. So be able to do it before and during. During is the thing that's coming later. Daryl, this is really just a UI change, right?
It is. But it's good to see a tidy up of the UI because we don't like to scroll for hours. No, it's not quite that bad. But those of us who have almost like muscle memory for some of these settings, we scroll half a wheel down and there it is, and we're on to the next webinar that we're having to schedule or meeting that we're scheduling. Yeah,
that you're exactly right. I'm smiling and nodding my head because that's exactly what I thought about was, you know, for those people that, you know, they go to the meeting options, they click and then they scroll and then they click and then they scroll and click and then they're done because that's what they always do. Well, number one, wouldn't it be great if there was just one single button that said, I want my normal settings back to the thing I wish this was. But number two, this is a change. And so you may have to click onto a category and then, you know, set the settings that you want. So targeted release early April through late April, and then standard release, and this is everybody else, it seems, GCC, GCC High and DoD included, will be late April through late May. So I like it. Where's that feedback? Oh, we'll get to that message later, but where's that feedback where I could say, here's a suggested feature. Maybe we can make that suggestion. But Daryl, tell me about where are the files kept when I do a transcription only, not recording, in a Teams meeting?
Oh, well, transcripts in general, Daniel. Yeah. I was surprised at some of this information. In this message, Microsoft Teams, view, download, delete, Microsoft OneDrive for business transcript files, MC72612, transcriptions, you start them in a meeting. Sometimes you are recording the screen and you're capturing that transcript. This becomes even more important when you're using something like Copilot. You can ask questions of the transcript. But I didn't know, Daniel, that today the transcript is recorded in two places. It's recorded in OneDrive for Business of the person who started the recording. So got that. And it's alongside the meeting recording that you would record, you know, the screen recording. But it's also saved into Exchange Online. And so this change, it's really a brief message, it should be. I won't be too much longer, people. Is that the option will be changed to just offer OneDrive for Business as the location for these transcripts. I was not aware that it was also being saved to Exchange Online, and perhaps it's because I take a specific route to see these transcripts. This new feature will stop saving the transcripts in Exchange Online, and you won't be able to find them in, where is it? You know, I'm still not really clear where to see it. It's on a recap tab in Teams, which is that, surely that's still going to be there.
Yeah, it's still there. I just don't know how they're. I'm assuming the multiple places or how you can get to it from, you know, from, is all just going to point to the OneDrive location now. But it is, if you've built, which both of us were like, wait, it's in Exchange? I guess we missed that boat of knowing that. But if you've built any sort of processes around this, maybe, that it was in Exchange, you're definitely going to have to pay attention to this because it won't be there anymore.
I think most of the processes are tied to a OneDrive recording, right? Will at the end of a meeting, I'll go and find it in Stream. If it's important, I'll change the expiry so that it's not going to expire. I'll copy the video recording to a team if that's where we store it for a project, for example. But yeah, so small change. We've made a big breakfast out of it already. When is it changing? A targeted release will be rolling out April 2024 early and then complete mid. Worldwide, GCC, GCC High, DOD, bull-ticka. I want to start, you know, making a rap out of all the acronyms that we list through sometimes. We begin rolling out mid-April and expect to be complete late April. Move on to the next one. Daniel, hey, good to see something here about Outlook. It's the new Outlook. But what's happening? What's changing?
Yeah. And this one's interesting for me because I went, wait, I've done this before. This isn't new. Let's discuss. New Microsoft Outlook for Windows. Copy email as attachment is coming. MC726121. So when I saw the new... in this title, I went, wait a minute, new? I've done this before. Yes, but this is the new Microsoft Outlook, right? So we're going to be able to, in coming very soon, I'm going to break the mold here, Daryl, and talk about when it's happening before I even tell you all the details.
Go ahead.
And there's nothing you can do about it. General availability worldwide. Will be mid March through mid April. So in that time frame, you're going to get the ability in the new Microsoft Outlook for Windows, and I'm using it. I'll tell you, I used it. For people who have been watching the show forever, know that I've been on Outlook on the web for years. That's been my main go to. I've switched. I am now in the Outlook for Windows, the new one. So now we used to be able to do this in Classic, you know, back in the classic old days of Outlook, be able to just say, I want to forward this message, but as an attachment. We're going to be able to do that. So that's what this is we don't have to do any kind of workarounds or anything like that. We'll be able to forward those, forward it on. So, the rollout is happening. We talked about that already, and you don't need to take any action whatsoever, except maybe tell your users about it, because they haven't been doing it. Or if you haven't rolled out the new Microsoft Outlook because, you know, features were not there that you wanted to be, maybe this is one that your users use a lot or something, then maybe, hey, now is the time to lift the veil, as they say, and roll it out for your organization.
Easy.
Daryl.
Yes.
I want to create an app, but I want some users to see my face as the app icon in Teams, and then I want some other users to see your face. Maybe we're going to release a 365 Mrs. Center Show app for Teams.
Into Teams.
Maybe that's what we're going to do. And all so right. For some users, we're going to have my face, and then other users will get your face.
I expect it would be like a filter of sorts where people might prefer your delivery, so it'll only show your messages.
Nice. Can we do that?
Well, we can't do the 365 Message Center Show app in Teams. Well, maybe we could. But this message is just drawing our attention to that we might want to have two versions of an app and present it in Teams. So multi-instance of an app, customization support for Teams, and it's MC 726120. It is really a message targeted more at our admin friends, but good to know that if we did want to install an app twice and then make some changes so that it operates differently, that it's going to be a thing we can do soon. We surmised or thought, I wonder what it would be like if we did this with something like Viva Connections, but there are apps that cater for this need to have different environments for different people and audiences already. They've got their own mechanism.
Absolutely. What
this message is saying is that it will allow you to do this for other apps. So, good. Then you can target it to different audiences and, it's...
Yeah, and be able to... Same app, but different icon, different name.
Yep.
So that...
You'll want to do that. Give it a different look and feel.
Yeah, well, and you think about, like, things like intranets do have a persona sometimes. But if you're servicing up different... for an app, you're servicing up different functionality and features for the subgroups of your company. Maybe you have subsidiary that has its own brand identity. Well, now you can give them that. You can publish your apps to them and use that brand identity and for those particular users. I think this is a short message, but I really like the new feature.
Worldwide, it'll be dropping into your ability in your tenants early April 2024, expected to be complete early May 2024. And moving into, I looked at this update on socials when someone shared it and thought, ooh, pretty cool. Something coming to SharePoint.
Microsoft SharePoint Online. Not just SharePoint, but...
Correct.
Confuses me why it says Microsoft SharePoint Online, but maybe it's trying to be specific. Hey, this is not your on-prem. Microsoft SharePoint Online. New section backgrounds in Pages and News. MC724124. Now, we all know that news pages or news is just pages, right? Just a special type. Anyway. But what this is doing... is, you know, those sections. You create a page, you depending on your layout, you may have like a vertical section, but your sections stack on top of each other, and you may have a three sections, a three column section, you may have two, one, whatever. You're building out the way you want it to be, the page. Well, you're going to be able to have backgrounds, not just background colors. We've been able to do that for a long time, right? Be able to pick from the few options of colors that align with our theme. We are now going to be able to use these pictures, these images. Now, here's what's going to happen. There's going to be a dual rollout here. One is going to be a gradient color and curated image options. So Microsoft provided images. Okay, that's what we're talking about here. And a gradient color option rather than just a color, right, that we've had before. So that is going to be rolling out first. And then right after or following that, we're going to have the option to use our own custom images. And have image settings. I'm assuming this is very similar to like the image settings we have in the banner, on a page, so that's great. I do want to throw some caution, on this, and I'm not trying to say don't do this. In fact, I think this is a great feature and a lot of people use this, but Daryl, I feel like there is a possibility that people will use this and make it harder or more difficult for users to actually consume the content by either being distracting because they're putting the image behind it is a little bit too much, right? Mm. Or it's making the content in web parts in the section not be readable. Or text not be readable and it not be able to be consumed. And what do you think? What do you think about that?
Well, the screenshot in this message is one example where perhaps it's borderline. You can see an example where it is a curated image that Microsoft have made available. It is, a dark, rippling pool of water. But over the top of that, and I'm describing this for our listeners, over the top of that is the web part content, which is white writing, white icons. And so if you imagine that white writing over, I guess sometimes it's gray rippling water, it does make that text a bit difficult to see. Now, there is supposedly something, like, was it an invisible or a transparent layer that's supposed to be there to make the text easier to see if it's over the top of an image like this. But Daniel's right. You know, we've got to give some consideration to the type of image we have behind it, because even with that transparent layer, it still might get pretty busy. And so, yeah, think about that. The other thing, and I know like that comes in stage two, where if you're able to choose your own images, when you're able to choose your own images and you can choose that focal point, is remember, this is a responsive page. So as people see it in different window sizes or different devices, that the thing that you might want it to focus on, it might not even be trimmed nicely into that image.
Yeah, indeed. You just have to remember, users are consuming your content in different modes. Desktop, tablet, phone, email. So there is a special note here. If you're using an image that is not supported in email, now, I don't know what those would be. So I really don't. I don't know what that is. I'm sure there are some. I just don't know what it would be. Then they're going to substitute that, because we can send news posts as an email, right? So if that happens, then that background that you're using will be replaced with a SharePoint theme color. While this might be important, is if you're using an image that is not supported in email, again, I don't know what an example of that would be, but if you are, and you're also relying on that to convey a message as part of your page, it won't be there to convey the message, right? Because it's going to be replaced, because it won't be supported in the email. So anyway, dead horse, I've beaten it some more. So when rolling out, remember we said two stages, gradient colors and the curated images will be rolling out mid-March, so-ish, soonish, next week, right? Yeah, to late March. And then worldwide, GCC, GCC High, and DoD start early April and complete by mid-April. And Daryl, I want to make a suggestion that every time we say worldwide from now on, we have Mr. 305 doing a dance. Do you know?
No.
Okay, never mind. I'm just going to move on. He's Mr. Worldwide. Anyway. So for customized image, we just took a rabbit hole there. Those image settings and everything, the rollout will start late April for targeted release and go through mid-May. And then for worldwide, GCC, GCC, DoD.
305.
Right. Late May through mid-June. So there's your rollouts.
I'm jabbing at you, Daniel, but for those of you who follow our shorts, Daniel's going to do a special worldwide 305 backstory, because he didn't have time to say it on the show.
No.
Homework.
It's Pitbull. Anyway.
All right.
All right. next up, dark mode.
Yeah, dark mode. Dark mode for FIFA connections. I asked this question of you, Daniel, but also of our audience, who's using dark mode? And you all throw up your virtual hands. Some of you do, some of you are like, no, I prefer, you know, that's cool. But we come across sometimes where we switch to these dark modes, and then something that we might be using doesn't adhere to that, and you know, you're blinded by the light because and don't sing, Daniel. Okay, I know it came to mind. Viva Connections, dark mode support on Microsoft Teams. It is MC726116, and this means when we're using the Viva Connections app, new-ish home landing page, which has the carousel, the dashboard, the quick links that will respect dark mode. It'll present that to you. If you're an organization that's using your own SharePoint site, your home site, and it's quite customized, it's not going to try and change that to dark mode, we expect. But yeah, this will be within Teams, and that means that if you're using Teams in dark mode, then you might have more consistency sticking in dark mode.
And yeah, that's one thing to mention is toward there at the end, it says, for now, if your organization has customized Viva Connections app with custom branding, with company branding, right, which you can do. It's the same app you were talking about, just you can customize it. It will actually not surface that company branding in favor of the user's preferred setting. So that's interesting to say.
So if you prefer dark mode, then it's not going to show, let's say, the... Now, that's weird because I see it now.
Right. I would think it was the other way around. Mm. And I'm wondering if it's just stated wrongly here. And should say we will not change the company surface branding in favor of the user's preferred setting or something like that. I don't know. I just wanted to mention that because I don't know how that's going to work. So,
all right. If you do have feedback, this is that segment in the show where we say use the thumbs in a message to say this isn't clear and type your feedback and send it. That is rolling out to worldwide GCC, GCC High, and DoD in early March and expected to be complete late March. And what are we up to now? Dark mode 3-2, a search. Yes.
So this is the second message that had a title that I totally read incorrectly. I'll read it correctly now, and then I'm going to tell you why I read it incorrectly. Microsoft Search. New content source filters in all vertical. MC722584. So I read this, and so the way I consume messages, and maybe this is the way you do it, Daryl, and everyone listening, I don't know, maybe you do it differently. I look at a message title, and I go, okay, and then I skim the message, and then I come back up and read it thoroughly. So when I did that, and I came back up, I reread the title, and I went, AI vertical? This is interesting. So it's like Copilot. You know, coming into our, so I don't know how I turned all into AI and I'm like, what in the world? Well, in the screenshot, the search that has been performed for the example is artificial intelligence. And somehow I transposed that. I hope that made you laugh just now because it had me thrown for a loop. I'm like, I don't know what an AI vertical is and I don't know where it is in the screenshot.
Don't bring loop into this.
Aren't you funny? All right. So people of the world. So in Microsoft Search, you can create custom verticals. And those verticals require a source, right? So things like, you know, we have SharePoint and all that, but you can do Power BI, right? You can do Viva Learning. You could also do those graph-connected content sources. And so when you create a vertical, you say, here's my content source that I'm going to use for this vertical. And so when users go and do a search, they can click on the tab, the vertical tab. They click on it, and it only shows search results that from that content source. Now, what this is talking about and what you're going to be able to do is on the all vertical, right, which is the default. You land on the all vertical. You're going to be able to pick from a filter dropdown and be able to pick and filter the all vertical based on content source. Okay. So think of it this way. You've set up these verticals. You have these content sources. Well, now I'm going to be able to say, let's say you have, you know, five content sources, custom content sources you've added on the all vertical. And you're going to be able to have each one of those listed so that users can pick from that and they don't have to click the vertical, right? They can just drop down the all sources, pick their source, and it'll filter the all vertical, the default vertical, with only that content, okay? So it's this is a pretty simple kind of thing in that, you know, you've already created the content sources, or, you know, they're already there because you're already using them in verticals. This is really just a UI kind of change or addition. I think it's kind of like one of those meeting users where they are, you know, because when I do a search on something, I often look for a filter before I look for a vertical kind of thing. You know, some people don't, but, you know, I often will look for a filter first, and that's what this is giving. You know, it's not additional or different functionality. It's just bringing it into a dropdown instead of clicking a vertical. What do you think, Daryl? Is this a good thing, bad thing, indifferent?
Yeah, look, do I get any other choices? No.
Nope, you're only those three.
I think it's a good way to tidy up the UI. We've seen this in other products that as you add more things like tabs, then it all has to, you know, go underneath the three dots to be more choices. But at least here with the sources, you can choose from your long list of sources.
There's already drop downs there, right? For, you know, the
type,
file type and for office
it's
files.
The sources.
And, yeah, modified. And so they're already there. So there's instructions there on how to create these. You have to go into the Microsoft Search settings and set up these and put a display name and pick the icon that you want, because you can use the icon. I will say, Daryl, probably for me, the most interesting part of this message is the very last sentence in this message, which is to group together multiple connections. So if you think about this, you could have multiple connectors that are very similar. And one example is like the SharePoint and OneDrive, you know, very similar, their files. So let's group them all together. So you have these kind of, okay, let's group a couple or three together instead of having one for each one of these in the dropdown. To do that, it's not a, hey, add this to a group, you know, when you're putting the settings in. It is, you need to name them all the same when you're doing these settings for this connection display name. And if you name them all the same, so, you know, source A, source B, source C, you name them all source A, comma, source B, comma, source C, or however you want to display it. If you name all three of them that, then they'll all they'll show up once in the dropdown, and when you click that, it'll include all three. It seems weird to me, Daryl. Just kind of a weird way of doing it, I feel like. I think that could be tidied up a little bit, because there's obviously code in the back end that's looking at that going, oh, this name's already used, so we're just going to group this together. Anyway.
Interesting workaround.
Yeah.
When are we seeing this?
Well, I will tell you when you're going to see it. You're going to see for SharePoint Online and Microsoft365.com. Okay. You're going to see this worldwide mid-March, so soonish, and completed by mid-May. And then for Microsoft Search in Bing. Remember, that's a thing, right? You search in Bing and it can, you know, have that. Okay. You're laughing at me. Remember, it's a thing.
Well, it's worldwide. A thing in Bing.
Right.
It's starting to sound like a Zeus rhyme.
Mid-May through late June. Daryl, I am ready. I'm ready to give some feedback. Can you tell
me
how to do that?
I'm ready to take your feedback. That's good feedback. We're going to hear a lot of that. It's an in-joke for those who, sometimes give feedback to Microsoft, and that's sometimes a scripted answer. But this is a place to give good feedback. Microsoft SharePoint Online new feedback button, MC721853. First comment, Daniel. It was prominent, right? Where does this feedback button appear? Where does it feed?
Yeah, it's right up there at the top right.
Right up there,
where you go to settings and you click on your profile image and all that.
Is that funny megaphone one that tells you about new features? But yeah, it's beside the settings cog and the other button. So if you ever want to give feedback, that's where that button will be. And it is changing. It is gaining some more superpowers, as they say. Today it is give a compliment, report a problem, make a suggestion, and then you submit it. But under this new button, when you go to Hang on, I might have got this wrong. When you make a choice, you have the ability to drop in a note. You can also include a screenshot or a screen recording, or both actually, because it seems to be a tick box. and you can opt whether you want to be contacted or not about the feedback. So, good to have it prominent. Good to be able to give the feedback and to provide visual cues about this is what I'd like to see changed. But what do we say, Daniel, about this? Because this feedback goes directly to Microsoft. It doesn't go internally to our admins. More about feedback about SharePoint. But what about the content that we might be visually including?
Well, so you talked about, you touched on something we're going to circle back to about not going internally. But it's allowing you to include a screenshot or a recording. Now, this is a functionality that's great for engineers and product people because they want to see you're talking. Not everybody describes really well what they're seeing or where they are and to give the feedback. And so to actually see it, you know, a screenshot or a screen recording of, hey, I click here and it doesn't do the thing. Okay, record that and send it to me. So it'll be allowed to do that. But what is a little bit scary is, well, what if on the page is PII, personal identifiable information about clients or customers? What if it's healthcare data? What if it is trading information, insider information, you know, that's on the screen that would be part of the screenshot or recording? I'm not saying I don't trust Microsoft, you know, and they probably have things in place to deal with this, but probably is not a word I would bank on, right? I don't put my money in a bank that probably would have it when I go back to get it, right? I'm just that's the thing that tingled was in my head. My hair stood up and went, wait a minute. Could this include some interesting information that we don't want other people outside of our organization or even inside of our organization? It could be, you know, it could be stuff that's kind of private that we don't want people to see.
So as you're giving your feedback, keep that in mind. We don't know what the experience is like. It could be that you draw a little square around what you want to take a screenshot of or what you want to record, but keep that in mind. The other thing we mentioned is that the feedback goes to Microsoft. It isn't feedback about, hey, team, we need to change this thing about our site and send that on to the intranet team or the admin team that need to fix something. It is more about product feedback. So that's another thing just to keep in mind too, that that's what the feature's for. Yep.
Yeah. And again, people, this is change management. You're going to need to, and Daryl's going to talk about it, you can turn this off, but if you don't, then it is, you got to keep in mind, you got to tell your users, this is not a way for them to report, hey, this web part, you know, and I'm giving a funny voice, I shouldn't do that. You know, this web part doesn't look right. Maybe we should move it over to the right. That's not what this is for. This is for something in SharePoint is broken or something in SharePoint is awesome and I want to tell you about it. Or here, I have an idea to how to improve it.
Let's use a real example, Daniel. Yeah. Maybe when you receive this new background image in the section that you have some feedback. Take a screenshot.
I would love, so you're going to need to educate users. If you leave this turned on, they're going to need to know, hey, this, we don't see this as organization. It goes directly to Microsoft. And I feel like to me, I'd love to see a setting here that is just that. Instead of going to Microsoft or as a additional step, allow admins to look at this because I have a feeling that for the people using this feedback, a good percentage is not going to be product feedback. It's going to be feedback on usability based upon the way things were set up by you know, a site owner or something rather than what Microsoft has control over.
Yeah. So Daniel did mention there is an option to turn it off, which is, it's good. That's a responsible thing to do if this is not going to be good for you and your organization. You can turn that feedback off, feedback option off in the cloud policies within Microsoft 365, that wonderful place where we can tweak and change all kinds of settings for cloud applications. And there's a link included in the message about stepping through how to do that. And there's also a few other things about learning how this works at the bottom of the message as well. It's going to be available, targeted release mid-March, and expect to be complete early April and worldwide mid-April through to early May. Daniel, that's our last message of a value-packed episode.
Very value-packed. So people, please give us a thumbs up. But you know what? Really, what would be awesome this week? Let's get a push. Please take the URL of this episode and send it out on socials, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, or X, whatever it's called this week, on all of Instagram, TikTok, whatever. Tag us at 365MCS. Please, let's make a big push this week. Share the URL. Say, hey, everybody, watch this.
Drop it into ChatGPT and make it part of the whole consciousness. No, I'm just joking.
throw it into your teams and your internal organization. Say, hey, everybody, watch this. Would really appreciate it.
Yeah. Put those notices up on the board with a little, ring this number, but just have our massive URL off to that, and so people can take it. And then,
all right. Never mind. Thank you, everyone, for watching and listening this week, episode 324. We will catch you next week. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.